I'm Marco Werman with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. It has been the longest-running armed conflict in the Western Hemisphere, and finally it seems to be coming to an end. The conflict is between Colombia's government and the rebel group known as the FARC. The parties announced a deal last night that would halt the five-decade-long struggle. For The World's Isis Madrid, this is all very personal. Her family has deep roots in Colombia. Isis is one of our social media journalists, so when she heard the news about the deal, she took to Twitter. Her series of tweets began with a description of her parents.
They're both from Antioquia, both my parents. My dad and his family are from El Quindío, which is the famous coffee-growing region. Mm. And it's the same area that the FARC and all those leftist rebel groups kind of started up because it's very indigenous. And then my mom is from the countryside outside Medellín.
What was their worldview?
So it was the 60s. My parents were born in the late 40s, so they're hippies. They named me Isis.
After the Egyptian
goddess of fertility, right, and the moon and womanhood. They're pretty liberal, which is not always the norm in Colombia. And they grew up during a time that was called La Violencia in the 40s and 50s, which is when the conservatives and the liberals in Colombia were at war. And thousands of people were dying all over the country. And that is the environment that a lot of the people who created the FARC and other rebel groups grew up in.
And your relatives actually went to school with the children of the Colombian man who founded the movement known as the FARC, Manuel Tiro Fijo Marulanda. What kind of stories did you hear about Tiro Fijo from your family?
Of course, this is all folklore, so I can't fact check it, even though I wish I could. But my dad has told me that people would say that Tiro Fijo once, his son got in trouble at school, so the teacher disciplined him. The kid went home, told Tiro Fijo what happened. Tiro Fijo went and found the teacher at the local town bar and, like, punched him in the face, maybe more. The story varies from person to person.
Yeah, but these are the things of legend, aren't they?
Yeah, the word on the street was that he was a pretty violent man from the beginning, before the FARC.
Yeah, what does Tiro Fijo mean?
Tiro Fijo means sure shot. So anything he points a gun at, he'll hit it.
Do you think your relatives saw the FARC as something that was saving them or something dangerous?
I don't know about my parents, but the generation that my parents belong to, it's kind of like Pablo Escobar. He's like, you know, the Robin Hood for the people, the common people. You know, the Castros in Cuba and the FARC were kind of allies at a certain point. In the beginning, it was all about communism, sharing the wealth, equality, gender equality in theory. So they were all, you know, idealistic. So I think at the very beginning, I'm sure people thought that this was a good thing.
But as time went on, I gather your relatives started to see things differently. What do you think? What did they witness, do you think, that changed their minds?
You know, the FARC quickly became corrupt. They became involved in drug dealing and cocaine manufacturing and growing. And yeah, that became kind of the bread and butter of how the FARC was getting its money. And there were kidnappings.
Yeah, tell us about your uncle.
My uncle, he's an amazing person. He's an activist, an immigration lawyer. He was, you know, fighting for the little people in Medellin and fighting against corruption in the 80s. And a meeting he was at got bombed, and my uncle was getting threats and phone calls, and he fled to Connecticut and moved in with me and my mom and dad the week I was born. So he kind of fled that craziness and ended up here and ended up being the one that was rocking me to sleep when I was crying every night as a newborn.
And your grand aunt, not so lucky.
My great aunt, she was kidnapped by a rebel group, and they made her call her kids and relatives for ransom money. And she grabbed the phone and said, "Don't pay these people. It's not worth it. I'll die for this." They tied her to a tree in the middle of the courtyard of her home, and they just left her there to brave the elements, and she died.
That must have been shocking for your family.
Yeah, it was not easy.
Isis, you were born in the U.S., made your first trip to Colombia when you were 6 years old in the 90s with your mom, and you went back to her childhood home. And a few of your tweets about something that happened on that trip. Tell us about that.
It was a beautiful trip. We went all around the country visiting family. And my mom took me on a bus trip to the town that she was born in. And on the way there, the bus got pulled over by a group of armed men. And I was scared. You know, I was. My mom tells me I was shaking. But yeah, they were looking for a man. They were tipped off that he was going to be on this bus, and he wasn't. But they pulled everyone off the side of the road to kind of search everyone and check IDs. And there were just huge men with giant rifles standing there, like pointing them at us. And my mom was just trying to keep me calm. And she was like, it's fine. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. You know, they're just looking for a guy. And, you know, we'll just get back on the bus and we'll be fine. And all the women around us were like, oh, no. Hasta aquí llegamos. This is the end. So it was crazy. And yeah, my mom sang me a little song to keep me happy. Caminando, caminando, la guerrilla es un amor.
And what does that translate as?
Step by step. The guerrilla is love.
What is it like for you thinking about this stuff?
Oh, it's tough.
I mean, like, do you talk about that incident on the bus with your mother and the fact that, gosh, at the age of 6, you might have witnessed an execution in the streets?
Yeah, we talk about it sometimes, and it's just amazing how strong my parents are.
Yeah.
And my whole family. They lived through all of this and brought me here. And I got to have such a privileged life.
You want to take a breath?
Yeah.
So ISIS today, a step toward peace. I'm just curious to know about your parents and the idealism that they once had and how they reconcile it with all the violence and everything that came to pass in the last few decades.
Yeah, I think they still believe in those ideals. The little revolutionary is still alive in them, and you know, they kind of raised me to fight the system and fight for equality and speak up. And I'm kind of a hardcore feminist because of them. My mom's a social worker. My dad, he cares a lot about saving the environment, and he loves poetry. And it didn't kill it in them. It's still in there. Yeah.
When you heard the news about this seemingly big step toward peace in Colombia, what did you do? Did you call your parents?
I wrote these tweets. That's what I did. I meant to just post one tweet.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great.
It took off, became 20 tweets.
And yeah, all of a sudden I found myself with like a 2,300 character count. So yeah, I just couldn't stop writing. It brought out all this emotion in me that I didn't know I had. And I'm just curious about what's going to happen next. You know, obviously this isn't the end of the problems that Colombia has.
Well, I really appreciate your talking about it. I know it's not easy. The World's ISIS Madrid, thank you very much for sharing these thoughts.
Thank you, Marco.
If you want to read ISIS's tweets about Colombia, we've got them on our own Twitter feed. We are @PRI the World.